This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
From pop culture to politics, this is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth, a great day to talk about the importance of elections. We have one important election coming up this year, actually more than one. There are elections in New Jersey, there are elections in Virginia, there are elections in California, and a surprise candidate who is being treated as a new favorite. Maybe following in the footsteps of Arnold Schwarzenegger, who apparently is a friend of this potential candidate. We will talk about that coming up on the Medved Show. We'll also talk about one of those great issues that is being divided by voters, but being decided by voters. And despite the fact that there still are some decisions being made about that, and divisions that are paralyzing the country, at least on this issue, it's marijuana, and we will be speaking to a three-time White House drug policy advisor, Dr. Kevin Sabet, about basically some of the problems with marijuana, including an increase in auto accidents associated with it. We will get to that. But first up, with voting so important and the center of attention and all of the raging debate about the Georgia election reform bill, there's a terrific piece by a black commentator, one of the leading black columnists in the country, about why the Democrats are deliberately distorting what this bill actually provided. But there's also, we'll get to that, but there's also a deeper question, and the deeper question is, why do we go through this in-person voting at all? Tim Cook, the CEO of Apple, a company you've heard of, and whether you like it or not, you probably do business with. Tim Cook, CEO of Apple, says, look, why argue about how long you have to wait in line and who's going to bring you refreshments while you're waiting in line, and whether or not you're going to show your ID card while you wait in line? Why not vote on your iPhone? Why not? It's a real question. 1-800-955-1776. I was speaking about this with Jeremy Steiner, Pride of Hillsdale College, during the break. And he was pointing out that Washington State, where we live, and Oregon right next door, and Utah, which are very, very different states in their political outlook. Washington State is leans liberal, obviously, and leans Democratic. Oregon, a little less so. Portland area, way beyond anything else. But still, liberal Democratic. And Utah, one of the most conservative states in the country. Those three states are the three states where it's easiest to vote. And all three states do all automatic mail-in voting. And if you insist on going to the polling place and you want to make sure to show up at the polling place in person and you like that process for whatever reason, you can still do that. But it's so much easier to get your ballot and then drop it off in a drop box somewhere. Or even in the state of Washington, they give you free postage. If you drop your ballot in the mail and it's properly signed and whatnot, free postage, you don't have to put a stamp on it. You don't have to invest any money. And so why would people wait in line at polling places if you had that option? I don't understand. Because you're waiting to make up your mind until the last minute? Well, in our state, and I believe this is reasonable, if you make sure that you have, before the polls close, that you've actually dropped a ballot in a drop box, No problem. Make up your mind at the last minute. Go ahead. Kill yourself. Knock yourself out. I mean, I don't really understand why this emphasis should persist on actually waiting in line at polling places. It's so incredibly low tech. And talking to Jeremy, I wasn't even aware of this. He leased his new car, most recent new car, and got a great deal on it, negotiated the whole thing, did the whole thing over the phone. All of it. All settled. Signed, sealed, delivered over the phone. I don't just dismiss what Tim Cook is saying here. It seems to me profoundly logical, in fact. The story from Business Insider, Apple CEO Tim Cook envisions a future where Americans cast their ballots through their iPhones. We do our banking on phones. We have our health data on phones, he said. And so why not? Last week, Cook joined a group of executives who criticized a restrictive new Georgia voting law. Apple CEO Tim Cook suggested that concept in an interview with the New York Times. Published just days after Cook joined a growing coalition of business leaders who criticized the new Georgia voting law. I would dream of that, said Tim Cook, because I think that's where we live. And what about issues like fraud? Cook said this, we do our banking on phones. We have our health data on phones. We have more information on a phone about us than in our houses. And so why not? And I, by the way, I agree with that logic. It's one of those things where one of the things in my life that has become incredibly simplified and saves me a great deal of time is I live about 6 miles away from the nearest bank. But what that means is, if you're taking in a bunch of checks that have arrived in the mail, and you sign those checks and you fill out the deposit slip and you go up to the bank, it costs you a little bit of gas and a whole lot of time. There's no way it's less than a half hour. And having just discovered about a year ago that you can get an app and you take a picture of the check you've actually received and of your signature, and it works and it's safe. And people are negotiating deals and making deals and signing contracts and signing commitments, doing it all on phones. So wouldn't it just be a huge saving and probably less liable to fraud than systems we have now where you go to a central voting machine? America's voting systems are notoriously low tech, which stands in glaring contrast to modern systems of banking, commerce, and health care. My chart is something else that people use now for health care. It's pretty arcane, Tim Cook said of America's voting apparatus. I think we're probably all having the wrong conversation on voting rights. We should be talking about using technology. Incorporating updated technology like iPhones in the voting process could expand the reach and accessibility of Americans to vote in greater numbers, he argued. Of the voting age population in the U.S., about 67% voted in the 2020 presidential elections, and that was the highest percentage of any election in over a century. So the highest percentage of any election since 1908. How can we make it so simple that our voting participation gets to 100? Or gets really close to 100? Maybe we get into the 90s or something, Cook said. Though voting through smartphone could expand accessibility for many voters, cybersecurity experts speaking to CBS listed a number of ways it would disfranchise other voters. Okay, so if you don't have an iPhone, you have other alternatives. But make it possible for people to do it this way. And my guess is the great majority of people would choose to do it this way. We'll get to that and more. 1-800-955 coming up on the MedVet Show. I first became aware of Josh Tolley as a very well-known commentator and writer who talked all about how to apply timeless values to the job of investing and business. And now he has an opportunity you need to know about.
Michael, first let me say it is a pleasure to be involved with your show and earn your endorsement. But you're right. People are worried. Politics, societal decay, market volatility, even how to transfer wealth to that next generation. Shift Capital can protect up to 25% of a family or business's wealth, offering tax-free, yes, really, tax-free compounding, no market tie-ins, 5 to 6% compounding dividend return, protected from creditors and with a 140-year track record. Before you invest, protect the money first. ShiftCapital.com, shyft-capital.com, or 1-800-289-7061.
Or you can find out further information at michaelmedved.com. To put it simply, materialism is the attempt to prove that human beings are merely meat in motion, that we have no free will, that we have no souls, that morality and religion are simply evolutionary artifacts programmed by nature for survival, and that our very thoughts and ideas can be fully explained by our brain chemistry. Darwin's theory of evolution made scientific atheism credible by offering a scientific explanation on how human beings could be generated through a blind process of random variation and natural selection. At discovery.org/MedVed, you can get a free mini book. Free! Darwin's Three Big Ideas that Impacted Humanity. It explores how three key concepts from Darwin undermine morality, religion, medicine, the criminal justice system, and the value of human life. Get your free book at discovery.org/MedVed. That's discovery.org/MedVed.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American made with American ingredients employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Michael Medved Show.
And on the Michael Medved Show, Tim Cook, the CEO of Apple, wants Americans to vote on their iPhones. Okay, obviously iPhones is an Apple product, but how about any other kind of phone or a computer that can verify your identity? Doesn't this work better than the entire debate about basically how you establish the identity, because they've already worked this out with banking, with credit cards, with a range of other issues. And the phone can, I think, probably determine your ID more effectively than a some person taking a look at a photograph on a driver's license and then looking up at your face and saying, oh, you didn't used to have that beard, or, oh, you used to be a different gender, or whatever. Doesn't this make sense? And wouldn't it, while allowing the people who still want to wait in line in polling places to do their thing, wouldn't it make things vastly easier and more representative? 1-800-955-1776. Dave, Tacoma, Washington, you're on the MedVent Show.
Hello, Michael. I am also a big believer in the technology, and have here in the state of Washington, as you know, we have mail-in ballots for, a couple decades now. One of the concerns that people have is verifying that person that mailed in the ballot, because you have to have a signature, a valid signature. We actually had somebody that came to our door because the signature for my wife didn't quite match, and they wanted to make sure that whoever put in the ballot was my wife. And I thought it was, to me it just proved that they do go the extra mile to make sure that you are who you are. And I think,
by the way, I've had the same thing. I've had a very similar experience, Dave, right here in the state of Washington. Is one of my children voted, and they didn't think that the signature matched. And so we got the ballot back. It had to be resubmitted. It had to be resubmitted with a another signature, and it worked the second time. But you're right. I mean, again, the whole idea. Do you know people who still insist in waiting in line at a polling place rather than submitting their mail-in ballot, putting it in the mail, or dropping it in a drop box? Dave, you there?
The police station.
I get.
So I have no concern about it. So.
Okay. Well, good. I agree with you and appreciate your contribution. Thank you for calling. This came in from John in Vista, California. He said, I could actually get behind a system like Tim Cook mentioned, but the problem is the tech companies have disqualified themselves from participating by virtue of their leftist and authoritarian recent behavior. I think they are already on par with the government when it comes to the power it wields over us. Well, when you say on a par with the government, does that mean that we should stop using telephones, or you should stop relying on using phones to do banking or to pay off your bills or a range of other issues, or your medical records, for goodness sake? And look, do I believe that this would absolutely eliminate fraud? I think having, first of all, a more uniform system. One of the problems with the American system of voting right now is that it is so different from place to place. And the stuff that they're arguing about Georgia, I don't think that the Georgia election reform was a particularly good idea. I don't think it's going to help in Georgia. But I also don't think it was the equivalent of Jim Crow or some kind of attack based on Americans of color. And by the way, neither does Jason Riley. He has a terrific piece making a very profound and important point. And I want to give him credit for it. It's called The Democrats Are Stuck in 1964. And he writes about the Voting Rights Act of 1965, which changed everything. And here's some numbers. But they're important numbers. In 1970, there were fewer than 1,500 black elected officials anywhere in the U.S. Today, there are more than 10,000. And they have included mayors of large cities with significant blank populations, Cleveland, Philadelphia, New York, Los Angeles, Detroit, Washington, as well as governors, congressmen, senators, a twice-elected black president, and the current vice president. Black voter registration in the South, where most blacks live, is higher than in other parts of the country. And in Mississippi and Georgia, black voter turnout has outpaced white turnout easily. Now, what is he trying to say? He's trying to say that it's ridiculous to try to revive this, quote, ghost of Jim Crow. He says, ideally, this history would inform media discussions of voter suppression and disenfranchisement, but it seldom does. Nor does evidence of increased black voter participation, including in states with stricter voting requirements, stop the left from invoking the ghost of Jim Crow, as Jason Riley puts it. The photo ID requirement was upheld as constitutional in the early 2000s by a 6-3 Supreme Court decision authored by a liberal justice, John Paul Stevens. But in places such as Georgia and Indiana, minority voter turnout increased after the laws were passed. A 2007 Heritage Foundation study concluded that respondents to photo identification and non-photo identification states are just as likely to report voting compared to respondents from states that only required voters to state their name. Blacks voted at a higher rate than whites in 2008 and 2012, and despite those supposedly racist laws. And the trend predates the Obama presidential campaigns, according to the Census Bureau. See, this is all enormously important, that far from being victims, it's all racism, and this is an attempt to suppress the vote, the evidence is overwhelming that requiring ID doesn't stop black people from voting. What about those statistics you've heard that, well, 25% of black voters, potential voters, don't have ID? It's garbage. It's not true. Even Jimmy Carter, who chaired an electoral commission, acknowledged that it is simply not true that there is a huge proportion of people of color who don't have identification. Because if you participate at all in this society, if you want to travel on airplanes, if you want to cash a check, if you want to get a credit card, you need to be able to prove who you are. So the idea of having to do that as part of voting would be much easier, of course, if we could do it online. And what about the truth about marijuana? And the author of a new book called Smokescreen, a former White House drug advisor, coming up.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach, at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Day 8 of witness testimony in the murder trial of ex-Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin is underway. Los Angeles Police Sergeant Jody Stinger discussing the defense's argument that an angry crowd of bystanders distracted Chauvin.
There was some name-calling, yes, but and some foul language. That was about the most of it.
Did that factor into your analysis?
No.
Why not?
Because I did not perceive them as being a threat.
Attorney generals from Texas and Louisiana on Tuesday took the Biden administration to court, alleging that it is refusing to take custody of illegal immigrants convicted of serious crimes after the administration set rules narrowing its immigration enforcement priorities. The AG is saying that the memoranda failed to prioritize detention of criminal aliens with final orders of removal. USA Radio News.
If there's a sudden disaster and you can't get to the grocery store or they're all out of food, what would you do? You'll wish you had emergency food to get you through the crisis. And that's why we're here. We're MyPatriotSupply.com, America's leading source of emergency food. Our food lasts for up to 25 years, and millions of families trust us for their disaster survival. Won't you join us? Unlike other food companies, we don't skimp on calories. Our meals give you more than 2,000 calories per day. Why? Because that's what you need to survive any challenging crisis. And right now, you can save $200 on our popular 3-month emergency food kit. Just go to MyPatriotSupply.com and place your order. We ship fast, 2 to 3 days max, and your food arrives discreetly right to your door. So order today and save $200 at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Michael Medved Show, one aspect of the pandemic that we are all still experiencing and hoping to have behind us in the rearview mirror soon is it makes everybody a lot more conscious, it seems to me, of the way that governmental policy can impact public health, can impact your survival, can impact your well-being and escaping from injury and damage. And there's a new study from McGill University, just came out today, and McGill University up in Montreal, the leading Canadian university, which takes a look at data from the United States and shows that in the United States, there is a significant correlation between legalizing marijuana and an increase in fatal motor vehicle collisions and fatalities. Could be a difference of as many as 3,000 victims a year. I don't think that would surprise Kevin Sabet, who Dr. Kevin Sabet, who was a drug policy advisor for President Bush, George W. Bush, for President Bill Clinton, and for President Obama. His book, which I'm holding in my hand, is handsome, it's striking, it's important, it's full of eye-opening and important information about marijuana in America. The book is called Smokescreen, and it's posted up at our website at michaelmedved.com. What about that? You mentioned that in your book, the impact of legalized marijuana on traffic accidents. How many Americans don't know about that?
Yeah, hi. It's great to be on. Thanks for having me on again. Appreciate it. You know, there's so much misinformation about marijuana. People have an old idea that it's the, you know, 3% THC joint from the 60s, and they don't really get what it actually is today. And it's up to 99% potent now. It's been genetically bred. Most people who are using regularly, they don't get high from joints. So forget about smoking. They use these dabs, which are 99%, up to 99% potent. They're waxes, shatter. They vaporize them. It's really incredible. And we've just seen huge impacts on the roads. Lots of studies showing that marijuana at least doubles your risk of a car crash. So, you know, when you use, and a lot of people use marijuana along with other drugs and or alcohol. And, you know, I just think we're rushing headlong into normalizing this without knowing enough about it. And what we know about it is really bad.
What this new study from McGill shows, and because there's this hot subject of marijuana legalization in Canada as well, what the study shows is 13% of all drivers in states where they've legalized marijuana say that they do drive when they're high, which is that's a sobering result, isn't it?
It is. It is. And it's in line with what we're seeing in individual states. Washington State and Oregon studies showing that it used to be 1 in 10 drivers. Now it's 1 in 5, which is about, which of course is 20%. That's even more than that number you cite. This study from McGill was actually remarkable because it is very similar to conclusions made by another study last year in the Journal of the American Medical Association, finding that federal legalization in America would cause 6,000 deaths on the road. This is very close. This is around 5,000 or so. So it's actually, statistically, it's not so far off when they're, you know, doing these estimations. And I think that's probably a low estimate anyway, when you actually, you know, see who, you know, how use levels change. Because when you legalize, people use a lot more of the product and they use it a lot more often. So it is sobering. It's disturbing. I talk to parents who have lost kids on the road. There's a woman in Ohio who I talk to often named Corrine Gasper at LaMarca, and her daughter, Jennifer, was coming home from work. Actually, she was going to work. She was called in, at an emergency shift and, was hit by a driver who was high on marijuana and, you know, thought it was safe and fine. And you know, this young, very young woman died instantly, and the driver survived and claimed that it was for medicine and it was for other things, but medicine or not, they shouldn't have been driving. And I hear stories like this all the time.
I'm speaking to Dr. Nick Sabet, PhD, the author of the new book, Smokescreen, which is available up at our website at michaelmedved.com. Nick, let me ask you the $10 million question, if I may. It's actually probably worth more than that, which is, I talk about marijuana, and I've been opposed to legalization, still am, and I have heard from friends, don't talk about it. It's a loser. People don't want to hear it. They want to enjoy their weed. They want to have a good time. And they won't listen to you. Now, of course, what this makes me think of is all those politicians out there. How, if you're a politician, if you're a member of Congress or running for Congress or anything, and I know you're nonpartisan, you've served both Republicans and Democrats.
Yeah.
How do you prevent this, given the way people seem to feel about this issue, according to polls? How do you prevent it from being a big loser?
Well, there are a couple things. One is when the polling, when people are given, just two options for the polling, when it's just legalization or basically criminalization, sure, it's 60-40 for legalization. But when they're given other choices like decriminalization or prevention, education, treatment, you know, we don't want to lock up in prison for low amounts of pot. But when you give people other options and you actually explain what legalization means, you know, it's a pot shop in your community, it's secondhand smoke. There was another study, Michael, you might have seen earlier this week, finding that the particulate matter of secondhand smoke is 3 times more potent than it is for cigarette smoke. But that's a remarkable finding. And so when people hear about this, they actually have second thoughts. And right now, in several of the states that have legalized, they're now trying to put some potency caps, you know, the THC levels, cap the THC levels because they've just gone astronomically high. So, listen, I get that we're in a period of acceptance of marijuana. I mean, I don't have my head in the sand or you know, rose-colored glasses on. I get that. I see that. I think it's a matter of time when that reverses again. People sometimes have to, you know, burn their hand in order to be convinced that the stove is hot. And I think that may be the case here.
Has there been any states that have just gone to the decriminalization rather than the full legalization?
Say that again.
Have there been any of our states that have done what you recommend, which is decriminalization, not full legalization?
Yeah, so New Hampshire did that, and their governor was in strong support of that. He's very much against legalization. That's Governor Sununu. We've seen this happen in Rhode Island. We've seen, you know, it's not just red states. We've seen it happen in blue states. And you know, there have been other places that have done that. Sometimes it's a temporary, and then the legalization advocate sees on it to then legalize, and so that could be the case. It's obviously, you know, that's a strategy that can happen, but it has happened in a couple of places. And, you know, again, I just think over time we will reverse this. I don't see this going the way of alcohol. Alcohol has a long history of widespread accepted use in our culture, dating back millennia in terms of Western civilization regularly using the substance. Marijuana, it's not the same thing. It's still, for the majority of people, they're not familiar with the products that are out there. And so, again, I think sometimes we have to learn the hard way.
I think it's very important for people to know this history, to recognize these distinctions, and no better way to do that than to pick up Dr. Sabet's book. It's called Smokescreen, What the Marijuana Industry Doesn't Want You to Know. And for some of you Bernie bros out there who think you're in favor of full legalization, this is one of the most irresponsible, predatory industries in the country. You'll find out all about that by reading Kevin Sabet's book. We will be right back thanking you, Dr. Sabet, for your clarity and force in leading this fight. We will be right back with more about Jim Crow, question mark, on The MedVed Show. Held back by pain and difficulty and soreness and stiffness when Relief Factor is available and available so readily. You have nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. This is $19.95 for a 3-week quick start, which can reduce the inflammation, it can reduce the pain, it can reduce the soreness and stiffness and make you feel better. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, michaelmedved.com, find the banner for Relief Factor. From Discovery Institute, a special free mini book offer for MedVed listeners. What did Charles Darwin's ideas mean for society at large? Do we have free will? Are human beings merely meat in motion? Ideas do have consequences, and Darwin's ideas made scientific atheism credible. Get the free mini book, Darwin's Three Big Ideas, at discovery.org/MedVed. That's discovery.org/MedVed. Don't you get tired of commercials screaming at you to buy gold right now with inflated promises on future values? In an unregulated industry, you need honest, real experts to give you solid advice to protect your wealth and give you top picks, too, on the best coins and bullion based on real-time data and historical trends. For example, as environmental policy becomes a hot topic, one precious metal that's been significantly undervalued for years is potentially set to surge. Nick Rovich, owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion, has long recommended this precious metal. Up to 600,000 ounces of this rare metal will be needed by 2030 to produce green hydrogen. Nick is doubling down on this pick, and you should, too. Call Nick to find out more. Now, I've been friends with Nick for several years, and he's my go-to guy when it comes to coins and bullion. I trust him. You can, too. Call Nick at 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com. 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
For over 20 years, Extendivite has been helping people. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. Glad I found this product. I am 51 years old and started getting headaches a couple of times a week. I went to the doctor and my blood pressure was a little high at around 150 over 95. I found out about Extendivite and I ordered some to try it. Immediately, I felt better and it lowered my blood pressure and my headaches went away almost instant. I have been taking it now for about 4 months and I am so glad I found this product. You won't be disappointed. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2 month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally, and it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
I think your show is great. I disagree with almost everything you say, but you at least give people a chance to talk.
Michael Medved.
And on the Michael Medved show, we were talking earlier, and I need to go back to it because there's something extraordinarily powerful and I think profoundly true that has been written on this subject and just came out, and I need to bring it to your attention. The subject about the President of the United States repeatedly referring to the Georgia Election Reform Act, which, as a political move, I'm not sure it makes any sense. As a matter of voting rights, it doesn't do anything to limit voting rights, but I don't think it makes the elections better necessarily in Georgia. It's like, it's one of those things that may outrage people on the left extremes, and encourage some people on the extremes who believe that the election was stolen in Georgia, the prior election. And by the way, there's very little evidence that any of these changes would have made a difference in the outcome in Georgia or anywhere else. In any event, the context is necessary when the president keeps referring to this as a Jim Crow law, because it's obscene. And it's wrong, and it's not true, and it trivializes the real evils of the Jim Crow era, which, thank God, is more than 100 years ago. Jason Riley, black columnist for the Wall Street Journal, writes, "Why treat the black electorate like helpless children? It's clear that when blacks are sufficiently motivated, they have little trouble meeting the same requirements that other groups meet and casting a vote." And he's citing the fact that in Mississippi and states with very tough voting requirements, that the black turnout is higher than the white turnout. And he goes on. Democrats continue to claim that Republicans are advocating modern-day poll taxes and literary tests in the guise, even as evidence to the contrary continues to mount. Democrats, as well as most Republicans, liberals, conservatives, blacks, and whites, don't object to things like requiring people to prove they say they are who they say they are before voting. Liberal activists and their friends in the political press like to obsess over such things, but outside that bubble, none of this is especially controversial, nor should it be. And he concludes this way. He says, in a saner political environment, Democrats and Republicans would stipulate both that Joe Biden won the presidency legitimately, and that the pandemic election exposed some significant flaws in our voting system that ought to be addressed in a bipartisan fashion as soon as possible. We have a closely divided House and Senate and a midterm election 19 months off. Yet in lieu of a sober discussion about voting procedures, we have a surfeit of political posturing and scaremongering, along with a president who believes Trump-like that his job description includes things like determining the location of Major League Baseball's All-Star Game. I think that's profoundly right. And even more important is this great piece in National Review written by Jim Lowry, who is the editor of National Review, and Rich Lowry, pardon me. And Rich Lowry points out at the very opening of his piece a profound analogy that I think we ought to keep in mind. He says, it's axiomatic in American political debate that anyone calling someone a Nazi has automatically lost his argument. Resorting to the Nazi charge is a sign of rhetorical and intellectual desperation. It shows an inability or unwillingness to make distinctions, since whatever is being condemned is unlikely ever to be anything like Nazism. Finally, it exhibits a moral bankruptcy by taking the unspeakable suffering of countless millions of people and using that suffering to make what is typically a cheap argument for self-serving ends. He then writes, Rich Lowry, it's time to begin to think of invocations of Jim Crow in the contemporary debate as just as loathsome, just as self-discrediting as the Nazi charge. People who call anything in today's America the new Jim Crow are advertising their own lack of seriousness, their ignorance of history, as well as, in many cases, their naked cynicism. There are legitimate arguments to be had about our criminal justice system, voting rules, and alleged social and political failings more broadly, but nothing is remotely in the same universe as Jim Crow. And then he makes this point brilliantly by recalling some of the excesses of the real Jim Crow. What was it about? He goes into that in great detail. And he concludes this way. Cities throughout the South mandated, demanded residential segregation, and some banned blacks entirely and prohibited overnight stays. The message to blacks from white jurisdictions was occasionally spelled out in Burma-shave-style signs along highways. And he gives an example. N-words, if you can read, you had better run. And if you can't read, you had better run anyway. That was Jim Crow. From 1891 to 1905, period of 14 years, more than 100 blacks were lynched every year, according to the book The Rise and Fall of Jim Crow. The so-called offenses for the lynchings range from trying to vote to looking the wrong way at white people, especially white women. The lynchings drew public crowds to luxuriate in the cruelty. A newspaper account described the sadism of one of these atrocities. The mob sliced his body with knives, burned his body with red-hot irons, hung him by the neck until he almost choked to death, then revived him and continued the torture. Next, they dragged him to the home of the victim's parents, where several thousand people were waiting. When they stomped in front of the house, a woman came out and plunged a butcher knife into his heart. Okay, that is not what is happening in Georgia. The Jim Crow charge, he says, like the accusation of Nazism, says more about the people making it than the targets of their ire. He's exactly right. And Mr. President, President Biden, this charge is shameful and should not be repeated as you repeated it today in regards to talking about the Masters tournament and potential boycotts of it. This came in from Nikolai in Kenmore, Washington. He says, I disagree with you about voting via an app on the phone. The problem is that people do not trust the voting system. Lack of transparency, the ability for one person to change the numbers in the database. We need a system that allows you to openly control the voting process and monitor the process. Electronic voting does not provide confidence and transparency. In the mobile bank, you keep track of your account. You can track where the money is going. If the payment does not go through or the money goes in the wrong direction, then you will not receive the goods or services you paid for, and you'll find out about it. How do you ensure that your vote has gone and gone to your preferred candidate? Will there be feedback from the person who received it or did not receive your vote? No, but there isn't now. How do you know if you wait in line at the polling place and you give in the ballot that someone in the back room doesn't take that ballot and throw it away? There has to be some kind of confidence in some of our institutions, for God's sake. And people who have looked at American elections for years have said that with few exceptions, and the big exception was, of course, in the South in the Jim Crow era, where they literally just threw away black ballots and didn't count them, or would not even allow people to vote. With that glaring exception, American elections have been pretty clean, by and large. Are there corrupt cities like Philadelphia and Chicago? Sure. Is it necessary for more transparency in some of those corrupt cities? Sure. But you need that now. And it seems to me it would be easier for some kind of national authority, some kind of independent authority, to monitor some of these questionable local elections than it is today. But generally, when the president, President Trump, commissioned an election fraud task force, they for 2 years were looking for evidence of a major election fraud in America. This is in 2017-2018. It was chaired by Chris Kobach of Kansas. They found nothing, really nothing, to the credit of this greatest nation on God's green earth.
My name is Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy, some uncle I never knew, called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars, and they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called the Tax Doctor. And the Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS. And they're able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less.
800-391-8713. 800-391-8713. That's 800-391-8713.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.